I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there.
Get a hold of
it. Everybody up there.
Get into it.
Hooray.
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show. And online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation. Always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hey everyone, it's Jason Grill, host of the Grill Nation show on KMBZ 980 AM. Today I'm going to bring you some of my favorite guests from previous shows in 2021 with the Best Of show. Happy New Year. Additionally, I wanted to let you know for the time being, to enhance schedule flexibility, I'm taking the Grill Nation show completely to our podcast pages on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, as well as to my social media on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram at Jason Grill. Additionally, you can watch the show on our YouTube page at The Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill. As always, you can find us on grillnationshow.com. That's grillnationshow.com. You'll still be able to listen and watch our incredible guests and hear all of their stories and shows. This isn't a goodbye, but a hello. I look forward to talking again very soon as we start 2022 via podcast, social media, and YouTube. Thank you for your support and for listening for the last 9 years on KMBZ Radio.
We are excited about today's show. I want to thank Jonathan Cole, who's the founder and owner of Pendulum. Their website is pendulumkc.com, a great architecture and just a wonderful design firm here in Kansas City. He last second couldn't make it today because he's busy working and building stadiums and all kinds of great projects throughout our country based out of the crossroads in Kansas City. But one of the things that Jonathan does and Pendulum does every quarter is they introduce Grill Nation Show to an awesome company here in Kansas City and one that they've worked with or one that they're really excited about. And that brings us to our guest today. Welcome to the show, Jasmine Nastasi, who's the founder of Stellar Image Studios. Their website is stellarimagestudios.org. I'm going to throw that up here on the live stream. Jasmine, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's learn a little bit about you first off. Tell us about your background and kind of what you do here in Kansas City.
Yeah. And so I was going to say I am the co-founder of Stellar Image Studios. I co-own the business with my sister, Amber. We're a full-service video production company in Kansas City. Our studio is located in Brookside. And we...
You're right down the street from me. I didn't know that.
Yeah. You're in Brookside?
I live on Huntington, or I live in Brookside. Might not want to get my address out here, but
yeah.
But I live close by.
Cool.
Yeah. In the woods.
That's awesome. Yeah, we moved here about a year ago. Prior to that, we were working out of our houses. Amber is my sister. We started out with just the two of us, and then we now have 5 full-time employees. So it's kind of been a wild ride. But we really specialize in impactful storytelling with small to large businesses. We also do a lot of promotional videos, nonprofit fundraising videos, a lot of sizzle and hype reels. So that's like a 1 to 2 minute pump up video for an event.
Mm-hmm. You do a lot of different things, and we'll break those down a little bit too moving forward. I want to kind of go back and learn more about you. And I did say founder. I apologize.
Okay.
You and your sister are both founders, so I guess that means you're co-founders.
We're one.
Yeah. For a second, I thought you guys were twins when I first got on your website, but you look very similar.
Everyone thinks we're twins, and then when they ask if we're twins, I say no. But guess which one is older? So I make people guess on who's older, and they always think she's older when I'm really the older one.
Oh, really? Okay. Interesting. So you went to Northwest Missouri State, right?
I did.
You're a Bearcat. And what was your major? Did you have any intuition about doing anything like you're doing today?
Not at all. So I graduated with an international business degree, and my sister, she graduated from University of Nebraska in, I think it was maybe poetry and photography. Not sure, but I started out doing my background's really non-traditional. I started out at Cerner, which everyone does right after college. Worked there for a year, did not like it. And then I transitioned into the nonprofit world. So I worked for Catholic Charities of Northeast Kansas for about 3 to 4 years. Feels so long ago. But I worked in the Refugee Resettlement Department, and I was in their employment department, led that team for the first 2 years. And then I started a social enterprise with the organization, which was a cleaning company that hired recently resettled refugees at above average wages. And then the profits that we made from the cleaning company funneled back into the refugee program. So it was like a self-sustaining program.
Wow.
We would contract with Catholic schools around Kansas City. And so that's kind of where I got my business acumen, was from that social enterprise, because I was running a company without my own money. I was like managing crews. I was managing the contracts. I was managing the budget, and we were really successful for the first 2 years. But we started to, once the administration changed, we started seeing less refugees resettle in the United States. Mm-hmm. So we were unable to keep the program going because I had all the contracts, but I was unable to fill them with new refugees, because the purpose of the program was to, I didn't want the refugees to be cleaners forever. I worked with them on career development. So that was like their first stepping stone. And then they were off to a better paying career.
Very interesting. That's a great experience. I mean, so you left there, and then you started Stellar Image Studios. And when you started it, kind of what was the goal of the company at that point, you and your sister?
Yeah, I'm trying to think back 3 years ago, but Amber and I were both in a place where we were ready to make a jump. And her and I have very different backgrounds and different personalities. So she's very, very creative, kind of more visionary, and I'm very strategic and more analytical. And so I run the business side of things, and she's the head of creative. I think those two personalities are really imperative in a business partnership, because we kind of bring out the best of each other, and we stay out of each other's lanes. So we're able to create our projects to what the client wants, they're very creative, but they're also on time and on budget.
Stellar Image Studios, again, is a women-owned Midwest video production company turning your stories into moving pictures. We're going to learn more about Stellar Image Studios on the show today. Their website is stellarimagestudios.org. We'll be right back with more of the Grill Nation show. Thanks for listening today. Hey everyone, it's Jason Grill, host of the Grill Nation show. Today, please enjoy these best of 2021 segments of Grill Nation. Happy New Year. You can connect with me on social media. I'm all over the place with the show. You can connect with us on Twitter at Jason Grill, at Grill Nation show. Also, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Just search for Jason Grill. Thank you again to our collaborator on today's show, Landmark National Bank. Their website, again, is banklandmark.com. And each and every month, they join me and they bring an awesome leader in our community onto the show. And today, we are lucky to have on Bill Cook, who is the executive director of the Kansas City Auto Museum. Their website is kansascityautomuseum.com. Also joined today by Jason Carter Solomon, who's a senior vice president at Landmark National Bank. He's been there for about 2 months, so it's great to have him on his first show here. How are you guys doing? And Bill, let's hear about you. Talk to us about your background and journey, my friend.
Well, hey, I'm doing great, Jason. Thanks for having us on today. At the heart of it, Jason kind of talked about it there and earlier. You know, I'm a car guy at heart. I always have been, always will be. When I was younger, my dad was involved with hot rods post Korea, so a couple of his buddies that used to hang around in the garage were the Weld brothers from Weld Racing. So at an early age, I had an opportunity to be exposed to race cars there, had them growing up. The love of cars actually led to a career in the automotive aftermarket. I was very fortunate and blessed to own an auto parts store at the age of 25, worked my way through some management and business positions. So I love cars and I love building things. So it's a great opportunity that I've had in the past. And then, you know, to be selected by Jason and the board to lead the next chapter of the museum, it's like a dream come true. I get to play with what I love every day, cars, right?
So you're very new to this job, correct?
Yeah, just a couple of months. Yeah, just a couple of months in. Now,
are both new to your career, your new jobs. That's pretty awesome.
You know, I'll tell you a little anecdote. So I became president of the board of the museum probably, I think, maybe May of 2021 here. And then our longtime executive director, Brittany Fernandez, who is still on the board, she left to take an awesome opportunity out in California working for a private collector. So once you become known in this space, and Brittany had availed herself of a lot of opportunities and brought back a lot of knowledge to Kansas City to help kick the board, or excuse me, not the board, but the museum into high gear, and then spearheaded the challenge to relocate the museum, find ground, and do all of those types of things. We then found out about 2 months afterwards, me becoming president of the board, that she was going to be leaving and going to California. So then we had to shift our focus to find talent to fill Vrenny's shoes. And I tell you, we cannot be luckier to have Mr. Cook in this role. I mean, he is a tried and true, passionate business professional, great leader, and just all around car guy. You know, I think I told you this. He's a, when I met you, I kind of got an inkling a little bit of Carroll Shelby when I met you. You're kind of like our Carroll Shelby here at the museum. So just kind of great personality, great leader, and good car guy.
I appreciate that compliment, Jason. Those are big shoes to fill, man. Big shoes.
Bill, tell us a little bit about that Kansas City Auto Museum.
Oh, I tell you what, you know, Jeff Wagner, when he and his group started this back in 2014, you know, they realized that there wasn't necessarily a 100% dedicated automotive museum within the Midwest. You know, that included St. Louis. They've got a great transportation museum, nothing in Des Moines, nothing in Wichita, Topeka. So it was just a great opportunity for them. So, you know, they took the dive, leap of faith, if you will, rented a space. They got some cars together that were loaned from some friends and built the museum, set us up as a 501c3. And, you know, it's kind of like Jason said, it's just a progression, if you will, of things, you know. So we had the initial museum, and then that kind of leads us, we'll talk a little bit about the underground, our second museum and future site of the new one. So great opportunity in Olathe. I just love everybody if they come by and check us out.
So what can we expect to see when we come out there at the current location?
Well, the great thing is you're going to see everything. And again, that's the beauty of the car community in Kansas City, is the diversity that you see. We've got a 1910 Allstate out there, which is one of the big brass cars pre-World War I. And then across the way from it is a late model Ford GT hypercar that's valued at over $1 million. And then everything in between. We're fortunate we have a space in the back called the drive-in. And what we do is we rotate that every month with different marks. So last month it was JDM, which is Japanese domestic market cars. So we had about 8 cars in there. This month is military vehicle month. So if you guys want to see a Jeep that was used by the British in the desert in World War II, you can come see that. If you want to see a more modern day 151 Mutt that was used by the Marines as a high speed attack, you can see that. So it's just a great diversity of cars. And we do have some motorcycles in our collection out there.
Hmm. So you mentioned you're in Olathe currently. You will be moving to downtown. Tell us about that, because that's an interesting decision, and I'd like to know more about kind of the thought process behind that.
Well, you know, where we're at in Olathe is a great facility. You know, it's Johnson County. We're right next to the highway. But it's like Jason alluded to earlier, we needed a location in the middle of the town. And, you know, thanks to everyone that's done so much work in the Midtown area already on revitalizing it. You know, we're coming in after most of the work's been done. So we decided that we needed a facility, one, where we could store vehicles as well as have it on a very high-profile corner. So it's going to be at 31st and Southwest Traffic Way, right next to the BMA Tower, which is now called One Park Place. So we're in the possession of the garage. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but when they built the BMA Tower, they built a second garage, but then never put the building on top of it. So we've purchased that, and we've turned that into our second location, and we call it the Underground. It allows our members of the Kansas City Automotive Museum to store their vehicles in a safe 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365-day monitored, temperature-controlled environment. And it's much like a museum setting down there at the Underground. It's clean, very well lit. And we've also partnered with the Neon Museum here in town called Lumi, and they've got many of the iconic signs from Kansas City on display. So it's actually like coming to a second museum when you visit the Underground. And then in a couple of years, you know, once we start the capital pain, we get rolling with that. Then we will start the construction of the physical building on the green space on the south side of the Underground. And hey, Jason, if I can give a free plug, if you don't mind, September 25th at the Underground, we're having our block party from 10 until 3. It's free to spectators and a $20 donation to show your car.
Jason, you were gonna stop in there and talk about the move to downtown as well.
You know, Bill is such a great salesman. He said everything that I probably could have said. I guess the only thing I'll add is that, you know, Olathe has been a great home for us, and we are so appreciative to the people and the locals that come out to all our cars and coffees and things of that nature. But I think the drive from moving, excuse me the pun, but the drive from moving to Olathe to downtown also is about just regionalism and recognizing that there is a growing tourism movement in Kansas City from the towns that are all within a day's drive. And especially talk about, like, you know, people coming out of the pandemic and even before that, right? It's Kansas City is becoming a really fun, cheap destination to bring a family, to have a reunion. And so we feel like we will get a lot of draw from those types of events, those type of regional events. And then also there's a lot of car clubs that we feel like we can get, like, nationally recognized by bringing in larger events. And so we need space. And so we were looking for centrally located spaces, so that BMA Tower property availed itself, and we closed on that because we feel like it's going to allow us to grow and invite large groups of folks to come through Kansas City to feature their automotive, you know, things like the Porsche Club of North America. You know, they have a traveling kind of thing that comes through towns you know, throughout the year. And so we'd like to be able to host those types of things. And we feel like that space is going to be prime to do that.
That's awesome. I can't wait to check it out. Hey, Bill, what's the and we're talking about the Kansas City Auto Museum on today's Grill Nation show. Executive Director Bill Cook is joining us. Bill, what's the first few months been like for you in an executive director role? What have you learned? Some things maybe you didn't expect. How's that going for you?
I've got to say, you know, Vernie and the board has just built such a great team. It was real easy to walk in. Everybody's very professional and up to speed. So the first thing that we had going was our great car show that we had recently over at Union Station. So that was our big activity. It was kind of all hands on deck with that, of getting everything finished and completed so we could do that. But I got to say, it's just a lot of fun. And, you know, the support we get from the board, as well as the, you know, car community in Kansas City, it's a great time. And I love it. And we're looking forward to things we're going to do here in the fall and in 2022. So.
Mm-hmm. I got to ask you guys this. I never thought about this question, but what kind of car do you both drive? Since you're car nuts, I'd like to know. You're not running for office, so it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to watch your P's and Q's here, I don't think.
Well, I'll go first. I've actually got a couple of cars. I've got a 1965 Shelby Cobra 427 SC replica that I built that looks like an original car. It took me 9 years to do. We're finishing up my son's 1977 Volkswagen Baja Bug. And then I've got a 1966 Volkswagen Beetle that I'm going to start restoring here once the 77's out of the garage. So.
Classic guy, classic cars. What about you, Jason? You probably got more of a common sense car right now, right?
Well, I'm a single dad right now, and so most of my trips to and from also involve me and taking my 8-year-old daughter to either, you know, gymnastics practice or school or camp or whatever. So yeah, I got to have something with a backseat. But I used to have just up till a couple months ago, 02 Porsche Boxster 986. That I kind of partially rebuilt to pull the transmission out of it, put a new clutch in it, did a couple other mods, exhaust, things like that. And me and a buddy who actually you just had on your podcast, Parker Webb, drove cross country to a destination called Tail of the Dragon, which is 318 curves and 11 miles.
Wow, we got to go to break, Jason, but I can't wait to hear that story. Yeah. You're listening to the Grill Nation Show here at 980 AM KMBZ via podcast or on our website. Thanks for joining us today.
He was warm, he came around like he was dignified.
Hey, everyone, it's Jason Grill, host of the Grill Nation Show. Today, please enjoy these best of 2021 segments of Grill Nation. Happy New Year. Jonathan Cole from Pendulum, pendulumkc.com, a great architecture and design firm here in the region, but they do work all over the country. They come on the show once a quarter and connect us with great guests like Wyco Vintage, Patrick Klima, who's the CEO of Wyco Vintage. Their website is wycovintage.com. We were talking about kind of the background and how you got into this, but I'm kind of interested to know, like, how do you get these incredible vintage items? Like, I mean, you said you had over 5,000. You're the world's most trusted and authenticated source here. I mean, how many a day do you get? I mean, just take us through that process. I think it's really interesting.
Most of them are acquired on a piece-by-piece basis. You know, I started out just buying primarily online, just connecting with other people selling, whether they were the original owner. But as we've done this over time and developed the website, if you go online right now and try to look up a vintage shirt, no matter what that shirt is, you're probably in the top 10 links. You're going to get a result to wycovintage.com. And so because we have that kind of exposure, most people instantly gravitate to our site. And then there's a section that says sell your shirts. And we've made it really easy for you to submit some photos through our website if you've got stuff for sale. Now, over the years, we've had some really good publicity. You know, we had a Wall Street Journal article. We did had a New York Times article. We did an NPR marketplace interview. And every time those things happen, we got tons of interest. And after the NPR one, we had a guy that was a former merchandising manager for Guns N' Roses, Rolling Stones, and Prince in the late 80s, early 90s reach out to us and sell us his entire collection. And so, like, when you get that kind of exposure, it's like it, now today we have more people contacting us frequently, where in the past it was always me reaching out. And today my inbox, it just, it fills up with people nonstop. Just, hey, I've got this, I found this. And it's kind of wild, really, because it's exciting. I'm always excited to see stuff I've never seen. And it happens still to this day.
What was your favorite White Coat vintage item that you have ever obtained? And Jonathan, what's the favorite one you've purchased?
You know what? It's interesting that you asked that question, because with Pat, it's like the fit is what's most important. And the funny thing is, he can always say, you know, here's the perfect fit for you. So I purchased a vintage Beatles tee that I thought was really cool. It's got some pink and blue overtone, so it goes great with my pink Levi trucker jacket.
Wow, I gotta see that. What about you, Patrick? I mean, you don't have to nail her down to just one, but like, what was that one item that you got, or two items, or three maybe? Like, wow.
It's, you know, it is kind of tough, because there's some pieces that are in the collection that I can't wear. They're too small. And then there's other pieces that are in my closet that I actually wear. There's an Alice Cooper shirt in my personal collection, and it's from his greatest hits in like 74, which kind of sounds funny, 74 greatest hits. But the shirt has like a gun holster printed on the shirt, and it looks like there's a revolver on the shirt. It's like such a cool shirt. So rare, so hard to find. That's one of my favorite all-time pieces. But we have a couple pieces in the collection that were actually two T-shirts. They were on the Lynyrd Skynyrd plane crash, and they were personal belongings of one of the survivors, Donnie Kretschmar. We had bought a significant portion of his collection from his daughter, and two of the shirts that were in that collection were actually on the Lynyrd Skynyrd plane crash.
Wow. Were you always into the music side, or when did you expand into other stuff? I mean, you obviously started with vintage concert and music, but now you have sports and shoes and everything else.
You know, I've always kind of said sex, drugs, rock and roll is kind of the thing. But then you've got, like, you know, pop culture in general, TV shows, movies. Those have really become popular as of late. I feel like just anything that really connects people to that point in their childhood where, you know, they just where things were important, you know, about 10 years old to, you know, 16, the things that happened in that frame, those are things that really stick with people. And so most of these things that become popular subject matter wise, it's about 20 years after that, you know, where those people, when they were that age, now have a little bit of extra expendable income, and they're kind of connecting to their childhood memories and things that make them, you know, think of the past. It's kind of happy thoughts stuff, right?
Yeah, I want to talk to you guys about, we're with Jonathan Cole, owner of Pendulum, great architecture and design firm here in Kansas City, and Patrick Klima from Wyco Vintage, the CEO and founder. You moved from Marion, Kansas to Midtown, to this new store on Broadway. I guess new to me, but you've been there for what, a few years now?
Yeah, the store actually opened October 13th, 2018. Okay. We were in Marion, and so like before Marion, we were actually just over on Main. At right across from Aura, right over there. I can't even remember the address, but we had a spot over there, and the building sold. And so at the time, it was more of a studio space. We weren't doing any kind of in-store retail stuff. It was more just doing our online business, and then we were kind of doing these little events on First Fridays and stuff. But the building sold, so we got this spot in Merriam. It was kind of just the best bang for our buck at the time. And we weren't planning on doing retail ever. That was just never really a part of what we wanted to do. We liked the online thing. It was just kind of easy for us, and, you know, didn't have to go to work every day and and be there and be present in that same manner. But we kind of started thinking about it. Those things went on, and then I linked up with Jonathan. And it was like, as soon as we started talking, and the market just like started just like saying, hey, do this, because there was this huge glaring hole. There's no sneaker stores like this in Kansas City. And we wanted to do something different, something cool, and something really nice. And so it was just really easy for us to come together to do that. It just,
let's talk about that. What does the store look like and kind of the process that you went through?
You know, the store is all white. It's white on white on white with a few accents, and then their logo, which is the anarchy symbol.
Yeah, I've seen that T-shirt on some celebrities, actually. Your white Covenant logo is on T-shirts.
That's
on
right.
Celebrities. So they're wearing your gear, too.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Sometimes you just, like, get a message on Instagram, like, hey, did you see, you know, like, Paulie Shore, he on one of his YouTube videos that he does, he was just wearing one of our shirts, and we had no idea, you know, but somebody sent us a video clip of it, and it's, like, awesome.
Yeah, I love that. And so, Jonathan, you have it's all white. I'm looking at a picture. You can see a picture if you've never been on their website, whitecovintage.com. Everything is very organized. I'll tell you that. As soon as I saw it, I was like, wow, this is one organized, very clean-looking store.
I think that was the goal, was super clean. I think that's the first thing that Pat and I talked about, was just want it to be simple, clean, and different, you know, different than anything that I think anybody has seen in Kansas City so far. And then especially with, you know, what, like one of my mentors said, location, location, location. I mean, I think Pat and I talked about a number of locations before this became the spot. But just the foot traffic alone, when you stand there and see people come by, it's an eye catcher. And I think it draws people in. And then, you know, we just kept it simple. Very flexible. We custom made.
In the spot of our old store, we're going to be opening another store that's going to be just used sneakers and used streetwear. And so we're going to have two stores side by side. And then the new store is going to be a very upscale version of our current store with a much, much higher end look and finish to it.
That's the funny thing is we designed it, but we also worked with some of our key collaborators like Pascal Maya, who does the welding, and Dale Frommelt, who helped us, you know, kind of configure and fabricate everything. We really kind of MacGyvered that thing and put it together and put everything together. I think, 14 days, Pat?
I think it was actually 13.
He knows exactly.
Yeah. I should remember because, man, my back is still killing me from
So you guys are on 3535 Broadway Boulevard in Kansas City, Missouri. So, you know, right in the heart of Midtown, you know, where all the action and development is now. I can't wait to stop in and see that once I get through the website. I'll probably know the ones. I got to get measured first, right, Patrick? So then I'll be ready.
Yeah, to go. Get your measurements.
You also have hats. I'm seeing you have shoes. You have obviously T-shirts. You have some posters. You have jackets. You had all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, we actually, there's two websites. So what we did, just to like kind of keep it simple for our customers that were into the vintage stuff, there's wycovintage.com, but then the store for our store is wycovintagebroadway.com. So that's going to be all of our sneakers, all of our streetwear, all of the stuff. When you walk in the front door in our retail store, everything that's in there is on our website. And so it's, you know, it's really cool because it's shoppable like that. A lot of other stores like ours would not, they don't have that capability. I mean, they have the capability. They just don't go that effort to present their items like that. And I mean, that's really like, you know, our pride and joy is we love to, like you mentioned, the organization. We want to provide the best shopping experience and customer service we can, because we know we can help you find something that you're going to love. We just got to find out a couple things and we can get you right, narrowed down to what works.
So wycovintage.com has got everything, like the whole, like, nine yards, every vintage, like all 5,000, and wycovintagebroadway.com is where I can go to see what you actually have on your storefront and retail. Is that right?
Yeah. So that's going to be all the Broadway site is, that's where all of our sneakers and streetwear, the Supreme, the Off-White, the Bape, that kind of stuff, that's all going to be on that site. And so we've kind of got them separated like that because it's nice for a few different reasons. But we had to kind of keep them separate for our vintage fans because we didn't want to overwhelm them with stuff that they might not be interested in.
I love it. Jonathan Cole, Patrick Kleinmar, my guests, Whiteco Vintage and Pendulum Studio. We'll be right back with more of the Grill Nation Show. Thanks for joining us today.
Here is the money that I owe you. Yes, you can pay the bills. I will give you more when I get paid again. I hate those people who love to tell you money is the root of all the kills. They have never been.
Hey everyone, it's Jason Grill, host of the Grill Nation show. Today, please enjoy these best of 2021 segments of Grill Nation. Happy New Year.
Tim Cowden, President and CEO of the Kansas City Area Development Council. Justin Meyer, he's the Deputy Director of Aviation at the Kansas City Aviation Department. And Peter Wolniak, who's the Senior Sales Manager at American Airlines, all joining me remote today from Kansas City. Justin, I want to start with you on an important update that we hadn't shared. One, about Florida air travel and where it currently stands from Kansas City, but two, about JetBlue. So talk to us about both of those things real briefly.
Sure. I'll lead with the Florida piece. And that's just a little bit of analysis I was doing here is leisure is coming back first. And we've heard that's the initial strength. We have high confidence that business travel is going to come back as well. But airlines are being really proactive in putting capacity where demand is. And when it comes to Florida from Kansas City, we've never had more nonstop flights between Kansas City International Airport and the state of Florida. In fact, this summer we'll average 12 nonstop flights a day to Florida across 12 different airports in Florida. Next weekend, Southwest Airlines will launch new nonstop service to Sarasota, Florida, which we've never had Sarasota service nonstop before. And that flight will operate Saturdays only. So we're excited about that. The other piece is really neat. We've got an upcoming airline announcement or inauguration. We'll welcome JetBlue to Kansas City in 2022, just next year, in time for this busy summer travel period. And Peter, in a way, actually is part of that. There's a new alliance between American Airlines and JetBlue on the East Coast. They call it the NEA or Northeast Alliance. And that's really helping support new service for us here in Kansas City. So part of the reason that American is able to do that LaGuardia flight that you mentioned in the last segment, LaGuardia is coming back. So that's exciting. For American, that'll happen this fall. But then JetBlue will have nonstop service to JFK and Boston and some connectivity beyond those markets on American Airlines. So really excited about that new opportunity for those two airlines, but also for bringing a new airline to Kansas City. We haven't had a chance to do that through the pandemic. So it would be great to welcome JetBlue here.
Yeah, you're getting some people watching us on the live stream that are excited about that. Triple exclamations about JetBlue. I've never flown JetBlue, so I'll have to give that a shot when we get it here.
It's a really great brand, really great product. You'll love it.
Hey, Jason, could I jump in real quick?
Sure, yeah,
because,
go ahead.
I think it bears mentioning this. Justin has done a great job. I don't know how long he's been working on this JetBlue activation or recruitment, but it's been quite a while. And, you know, we talked about it at the top of the show, but Justin does a great job. And I know he's going to say the entire team out there does, and they do. But this guy, that's all he does. He thinks about how can we bring more air service to the Kansas City market. And JetBlue is a big deal. That is a big deal for KC. So congrats, Justin, and thank you.
Appreciate that, Tim. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, if I could just piggyback on JetBlue, that's such great news for our customers, particularly for European connectivity over JFK, New York. JetBlue is the largest trading off between 1 and 2 in JFK in terms of seat share. And from a product perspective, Jason, I can't wait for you to fly them. They really are top notch, specifically in their Mint cabin, which is their premium cabin. American also has another alliance, the West Coast International Alliance with Alaska Airlines as well. That's going to be focused on the West Coast. And that is a very, very lucrative value proposition for our customers. Alaska is the dominant West Coast sea carrier and hubbed in Seattle. It really broadens American's opportunity to serve that market as a connect point as well. American will be flying Seattle to Bangalore, India, as well as Seattle to London Heathrow. Those are two new markets that we're launching in tandem with the West Coast International Alliance. So both partnerships just present a lot of excitement and buzz around the industry.
I like that. I'll be flying Alaska Air for the first time, I think, in August. So out to the Seattle area. So enjoyment. I'll let you know what I get out of that, and then I'll definitely be flying JetBlue now that that Justin has helped bring them here to Kansas City. Speaking of a new terminal coming on at KCI in 2023, I want to know your favorite airport you've ever traveled through. Let's start with Justin.
I love my Germany airports. So I'd probably say Munich is probably one of my favorites. As a connecting airport, it's really easy. It's also 5 kilometers from the world's oldest brewery. So if you schedule yourself a long layover there, it's easy to get over to the Weinsteffen beer garden and grab yourself a quick pint before you continue on.
There you go. What about you, Peter?
I'd have to say Palm Springs. Very, very small. However, it is an outdoor terminal, which is the first that I've seen. So when you check in and go through TSA, you wonder if you're in an airport, if you're in some high-end luxury mall dining area. But I would say that would be my favorite airport that I've traveled through.
I love that. I'll have to definitely check that out. I think I've only driven there. I don't think I've ever flown there. Tim, what about you?
Well, certainly it's going to be the new terminal in Kansas City. That's it. I've already been through it, so it's awesome. But outside of Kansas City, it's got to be St. Lucia, Jason, because the terminal in St. Lucia is awesome because it's in St. Lucia.
That's a good answer. I like that one. I've got so many questions I could ask you guys right now, but I'm trying to find the best one. Oh, this is another fun one I thought of. But what's the best airport food you've ever had? I mean, I guess Justin can go with the one in Germany with the beer garden next door, but because we're gonna get through this concessionary phase here at New Terminal KCI at some point, and you know the food options are gonna be the most important and drink options at some level for some people. So what is it for you guys? What is it for you, Justin? We'll go through the same order.
I don't know. I've had the opportunity to travel quite a bit.
You bring up sack lunch. Are you like one of those guys?
No, not at all. But one of the things that was most intriguing, I was actually in Dubai one time, and they had I didn't eat this, but they had a McDonald's there, and they had a chicken Big Mac because of the cultural issues there. So number one on the value meal at the McDonald's in the Dubai airport is a chicken Big Mac, and I thought that was interesting. Didn't have one, though.
Oh, that's great. Peter, what about you, man? You travel a lot. Is there one thing that we could try when we're traveling at the new terminal? We fly to these other airports?
Well, I would say if you do happen to fly JetBlue to Boston and then you transfer over to the American Concourse, the Admiral's Club in Boston on American, they have probably the best lobster roll I've ever tasted. And it really caught me by surprise. I was there. I was delayed. There was crazy weather. The whole airport was shut down. And I went to the club. And it's not one of those items that come for free like various items do. You have to pay a little bit of an upcharge. Yeah. But boy, was it good.
Lobster.
I'll only remember that.
Definitely having that lobster roll. Tim, what about you as we finish off?
Well, I haven't been to the new Louis Armstrong terminal in New Orleans, but the old terminal in New Orleans. And I love the city of New Orleans. They had an Acme Oyster Bar. Right there in the terminal, similar to what they have in the quarter. That was the best. The food in New Orleans is right next to Kansas City, the best in the world.
I love that. Go ahead, Justin.
Jason, Tim mentioned that I worked at Tampa for a little bit, and I'll give you the answer. My straight up answer is the 1905 salad at the Columbia restaurant in the Tampa airport. It's the best food I've ever had in an airport.
I want to thank Tim Cowden and KCADC for helping to put together this show, the great team there. Justin Meyer from Kansas City Aviation Department and Peter Wilniak from American Airlines. Thank you for joining me today on the Grill Nation Show.
Hey, everyone. It's Jason Grill. Thank you so much for listening to this best of 2021 Grill Nation Show. I wanted to let you know I'm taking the Grill Nation Show completely to our podcast pages on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, as well as to my social media. I'm on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram at Jason Grill. Additionally, in 2022, you can watch every show on our YouTube page at The Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill. As always, you can also find us at grillnationshow.com. You'll still be able to listen and watch our incredible guests and hear their stories in 2022. This isn't goodbye, but it's hello. I look forward to talking again very soon as we start 2022 via podcast, social media, and YouTube. Thank you for your support and for listening the last 9+ years on the radio. It's been quite a ride doing over 500 shows and talking to many more incredible guests. Wishing you a happy new year. I'm Jason Grill, host of The Grill Nation Show. I'll see you next time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.